Satan, His Personality, Power, and Overthrow, by Edward M. Bounds, commonly referred to as E.M. Bounds. Printed in 1922. Forward. In our mind's eye, we can see Dr. Bounds in the early years of the 20th century, walking the streets of his own little village with his manuscripts tied up with a twine string and written upon the backs of old circulars, used envelopes, looking for someone who would undertake to prepare the manuscripts for publication, and asking of his friends to pray that God would raise him up a man that would bring out his writings. Claudius L. Chilton, a scholarly friend of Dr. Bounds, said, "There is no man on earth today, except the present editor, who would have accepted this mass of matter and devoted the time to give it to the world, a world that will not begin to realize the magnitude and expanse of the work until editor, compiler, and reviewers have been an eternity, many ages." To take this occasion to offer our heartfelt thanks to the friends who have helped to compile, revise, rewrite, and edit the printed and unprinted works of Dr. Bounds, we thank Reverend Robert O. Smith of Gainesville, Georgia, for introducing him to us in 1905, impressing the matter upon us that we needed this apostolic man to teach us to pray and preach the word. To one friend in particular, Reverend Clemens C. Carey of Atlanta, Georgia, we owe the first expression of sincere gratitude for his part in the work. To him I am indebted for a vast amount of labor and study, such as it can be the good fortune of few editors to receive from one so saintly and competent, occupied as he is by private and public duties. To Miss Ambrose of Baltimore, Maryland, I am deeply indebted for splendid and correct stenographic work. I here submit a few brief sermons from Dr. Bounds' letter to me just before he died, which shows his views of Satan ere he went far out of his reach. Washington, Georgia, December 15, 1911. I am trying to give myself more and more to prayer. Our only hope is in God. I do sympathize with you and pray for you and hold you in loving affection. Rejoice that you are well situated. God save you from your buffeting devil. The devil is a great help heavenward. The worst agents he has, the better he will get on. Washington, Georgia, July 1st, 1912. Pray more and more. Keep at the 4 a.m. hour. God will be for it, the devil against it. Press on. You can't pray too much. You may pray too little. The devil will compromise with you to pray as the common standard on going to bed and a little prayer in the morning. Hell will be full if we don't do better for God than that. Pray, pray, pray. Pray always, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. It is barely possible that I have escaped making many errors involving so many examinations and rewriting so many pages in his published and unpublished works, but I still hope that many souls will be edified and made holier and more devout by the reading, and that God will receive additional glory when Bounds' complete works have been given to a needy world. Homer W. Hodge, Brooklyn, New York. This book has 16 chapters. It's being read by Peter John Parisi, also known as Brian Dean. None of my audios are copyrighted. Please feel free to make as many copies as you desire. Chapter 1, The Devil, His Beginning. The Devil, His Beginning. Satan hath here a mighty kingdom. Matthew 12:26. Opposed to that of Christ in chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, consisting of men and angels, inhabitants of earth and air, wherein he had the start of Christ, carrying the world before him, 4,000 years previous to the incarnation. Zanchy, the most judicious of the Protestant writers, and Suarez, Suarez, the best of schoolmen, suppose with some probability that the angels had notice of the setting up a kingdom for Christ, predestined to come by the second person's assumption of human nature, and his therein being the head of all principality and power, from whom men and angels should have their grace, and that the sin of the fallen spirits was refusing subjection to the king, and that thus they kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, voluntarily quitting their station God had set them in leaving their dwelling in heaven to go and set up an opposition kingdom here below. Thomas Goodwin. We have no genesis of the devil in the Bible as a direct statement. The Bible is not his full history. It gives no intimation of his birth and no description of his creation. The Bible is only concerned with the devil as he has part in the great crises of man's history, and only gives us occasional glimpses of him in his work of ruin and death as expiatory, or as putting his acts in striking contrast and opposition to the works and aims of Christ. There are not lacking in these imitations and inferences sidelines which indicate an original purity, a high relation to God, a heavenly character and conduct. It is not a fanciful conjurer that he was and is the head of the angels who kept not their first estate. Peter, in his first epistle, gives the angel crisis and fall as one of the signal events which illustrate God's justice, its certainty, and fearfulness. He said, quote, God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to heaven, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, unquote. Jude speaks about the same order of God's inflexible wrath when he tells us that, quote, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, unquote. The revelation of John adds its testimony with addition to this fact, quote, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, unquote. To the word of God we must go, assured that we will find the traces of the devil's steps and the unfolding of his conduct, whose bad schemes have eclipsed so much of the earth's brightness and blasted so much of its promise and hope. If we have a childlike spirit of docility and trust, if we will, quote, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, unquote, we will find satisfaction and illumination, not satisfaction as to curiosity, nor illumination in the niceties or subtleties of philosophy, but satisfaction and illumination in all things which pertain to the highest and weightiest truth for the thoughtful, trustful, and prayerful mind. In the Bible we have the facts and history of man's redemption. Incidentally or essentially, other worlds and other beings are brought predominantly on the stage of redemption purposes and plans. Those revealed facts, whether incidental or essential, whether casual or regular, or to our faith, what the facts of nature are to the student of nature. They must shape theories and subtle opinions. They must not be set aside, for weighty and final they must be. Reason must not ignore nor reject them, but must lay them deep and solid as the foundation of all investigation, the basis of every hypothesis. These Bible facts demand our faith, though we may not be reached be able to reach out beyond into the unknown realms where harmony reigns. The Word of God brings clearly to light the unseen world, its persons, places, facts, and history. Not, we say, in minute detail, but full enough to provoke thought and reflection and to create and inspire faith. The Bible nowhere enters into an argument to prove the person and being of God. It assumes His being and reveals His person and character. Without preface or introduction, the Bible brings God before us in all His majesty and omnipotency. God is at the world's beginning, and He was who created the beginning of all things. Quote, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," unquote. How sublime and awe-inspiring our first glimpse of God. God is revealed not by argument, but by work. We learn what He is from what He does. In like manner is the revelation of the devil. He is before us in full person, without introduction or ceremony, as the evil one, a graduate in the work of guile and evil. The curtain is drawn and the chief actor is in his full dress. A world is at stake. Man is to be seduced. Eden is to be blasted. No light is shed upon his past history. No knowledge of the school where he learned his dire trade. He was before earthly life. Eden does not date his birth and is not the first chapter of his history, nor is it the first trial of his hellish art. We have no access to the archives of the past. Eden bounds our horizon, and the devil is there. Henceforth, his history is to run parallel with our race. Man is to be the object of his schemes, his ruin, and his ambition. Earth is to be the favorite scene of his exploits. He is at the cradle of man and has much to do in shaping his character and determining his destiny. The Bible is a revelation, not a philosophy, nor a poem, not a science. It reveals things and persons as they are, living and acting outside the range of earthly vision or natural discovery. Bible revelations are not against reason, but above reason, for the uses of faith, man's highest faculty. The powers of reason are not able to discover these Bible facts, and yet they are for reason's use. Its light, strength, and higher elevation, but more essentially to form, to nourish, and to perfect faith. The Bible reveals the devil as a person, not a mere figure, not an influence simply, but a real person. In the 8th chapter of John, Christ is arranging the cruelty and murderous malignity, the falsehood, deceit, and hypocrisy of the Jews. Jesus said, quote, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do," unquote. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Many myths may have gathered around the person of the devil by the creation of ages, much of poetry, sentiments, and tradition. Even our fears may have caricaturized his person, exaggerated his character, colored his conduct. But there is truth in regard to him, naked and simple truth. There is much truth that needs to be learned about the devil, and no age needs the plain, unvarnished truth about the devil more than this age. We need the light of that truth as a warning, as an incentive to vigilance, and an inspiration to effort. We need the knowledge of the enemy, his character, presence, and power, to arouse men to action, for this is vital to victory. It is wholly at variance with any Christian idea of the perfection of truthfulness in Christ, who was truth itself, to suppose him to have used such plain and solemn words repeatedly before his disciples and the Jews in encouragement and furtherance of a lying superstition. A denial of the reality of demonic possessions on the part of anyone who believes the gospel narrative to be true and inspired may justly be regarded as simply and plainly inconceivable. When the devil fell, others fell with him. This is the lesson of God's word. Of the number of these fallen spirits, we have no census. In Ephesians, quoting from the Revised Version, in the summary of those unseen foes, we have spiritual hosts, an uncounted, uncountable number. How numerable they are, we cannot tell. The demonic of Gadara, that's Gadara, was named Legion because many devils were entered into him. A legion, if exact, was something less than 6,000. Their number must be great, enabling them to spare so many to swarm into and possess one man, or even seven and one woman, as Mary Magdalene. The statement in Revelation that the great red dragon, with, quote, his tail did draw the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, unquote, may be a reference to the fall of the angels and their number. The Bible is clear in many references and some direct statements that the devil has a host of angelic followers who are ready, eager in their efforts to hurt man and defeat God's kingdom on earth.